This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Valley Football First and Goal, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference on the lineupmedia.fm network. Now, your host, Kelly Burke.
Going behind the mic with the longtime voice of the SIU Salukis, Mike Reese. Mike, welcome. Thank you for being the inaugural guest.
I'm happy to be first. I hope I'm not last. Don't kill the idea.
You grew up in Cleveland. Who were some of your early influences, and did you always want to be a broadcaster?
It's the only thing I wanted to do. It's the only thing I probably can do. And so I had the standard heroes of my generation: Jack Buck with the Cardinals, Harry Carey with the Cardinals on radio at that time, a guy that probably is not as well known to viewers, Joe Tate, who did the Cleveland Cavaliers forever, is my basketball influence, and a guy named Phil Samp, who's dead, did the Cincinnati Bengals games, and he was my influence in football. I was born in Cincinnati. I grew up in Cleveland. I went my last 2 years of high school in suburban Chicago. Went to school at Southern in 74 and never left. And so that's why there are Ohio people as major influences to me. And at that time in Ohio, in Cleveland, you could hear KMOX. And so I heard Buck and I heard Carey.
So you graduated Southern in 1978 and became the full-time voice of the Dogs. What were some of your early goals?
My goals were to do Major League Baseball. My goals weren't necessarily to do Division I. My goals weren't necessarily to do basketball. But probably the early success I had changed the goals. I say goals, but to call me goal-oriented would be wrong. I'm day-to-day oriented. And so one day becomes another, and then it's a month, and then it's a year, and there's no way I thought I would be here for 38 years. But at the same time, I'm glad I am, because sometimes you are where you're supposed to be. At the start, I wanted to be at the highest level, especially Major League Baseball. I would go to Cleveland Stadium, and I'd turn around and look in the press box, and there'd be a guy talking on a microphone, and I knew he was on the radio because I'd listened to every game I could, and I said I'd like to do that. And so Big League Baseball was my goal, but in the end you figure out what you should be doing, what you shouldn't be doing. Basketball took hold of me when I came to Southern. I wasn't necessarily a basketball fan, but as I got rolling into basketball and got into that culture, it really drove me and refocused towards college sports. And then one thing leads to another. And look, like I always say, there's only 300 plus people that do this. And I'm honored and privileged to do this. I'm honored and privileged to do it at Southern because it is my school and it means a lot. And I want Southern to succeed. And to do that for this long is very, very, very gratifying.
You've undoubtedly had other offers to go to bigger jobs and other places.
When I say that I'm a day-to-day sort of person, a month-to-month sort of person, there's no time in there for projecting. And I never really spent much time putting together resume information, either print or audio. I never really spent much time. When I got involved in jobs is when people called me. And so there haven't been as many as people think. There have been some. And but in the end, with the exception of one, where I was better in the immediate. I also, Kelly, didn't want to play the game. I did at that time, the goal for everybody was to go to KMOX. And then you would almost intern-like. You'd be full-time, but you'd be paying your dues, and then eventually you would move on to play-by-play jobs. The best ones did. But I wanted to do play-by-play, and that's what I was doing right out of school. I was very lucky, and it was hard for me to give that up. And so that factored into career decisions I made.
I was reading that as a 21-year-old undergrad, you had a chance to call the 1977 College World Series that SIU was playing in, and you were so nervous beforehand, you vomited in your hotel room. Safe to say that the pregame ritual has changed?
Well, I don't vomit. Fortunately, I still get a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous as we tape this before the first football game. I'm getting anxious as we get closer and closer because it does still matter. And then that's how I'll judge as I go forward how much longer I want to do it. But that's true. In 1977, Southern was a national baseball powerhouse. And this was a big deal. And we had fought hard internally. WCIL Radio was the station. We had fought hard internally. I was a junior at the time and working part-time to do the games. WSIU was doing them at the time. But there was an opportunity for commercial stations, so we fought hard. So it meant a lot, and it was my debut. And in 1977, I'm the same age as the players. And I've always felt like I've been very close to the baseball program. And so I knew those guys very well, hung out with them a lot. And so I wanted to do those games. And man, was I nervous. And man, was I sick. And man, was I god-awful during the game. George Hoffman, who's in Chicago, was the guy that gave me a start at Southern. He had left. It's one of the reasons I got the job. We brought him back to work with me. And that was a special moment, too.
You head down to Florida this week for SIU's opener with FAU. You have an inside look in your job at SIU coaches and players and programs, frankly. What has impressed you most about Coach Hill and his staff so far?
I think the energy is the first thing that strikes. I think Southern's program needed a boost. Now, Nick Hill, just like Dale Lennon, in the end will be judged by victories. Jerry Kill was judged by victories, Jan Corliss, all the coaches before him, Ray Dempsey before them. So that will come. But for now, Southern's program needed a boost, and Nick has provided that, both on and off the field. His youth permeates the program on and off the field. I've seen coaches work hard off the field at Southern, but not in their first year. Jerry Kill is very popular here. And rightfully so. But Jerry Kill was focused on football his first year. He didn't become a Pied Piper until later. I think Nick is a Pied Piper right now. Doesn't seem overwhelmed by it. In fact, I asked him about that specifically the other day, are you doing too much? And he quickly said no. So there was no hesitancy. So he likes that. I think the players, especially the veteran players, were ready for a shot in the arm too. And something that would help them, if only energy-wise, start to win games. That's a program last year that went 3-8, lost six games by a total of 17 points. And then the other two games, the last two games of the year, they were blown out. So the losing caught up to them. But it's they're players that are searching for the ability to win. And they know that's key. And so that's the first thing that strikes me. And then the second thing is, maybe a subset of that, is the energy in recruiting. Now we'll find out. They're very public in their recruiting, or as public as they can be. Nick loves social media. And he loves to tell people who they're recruiting. That's the exact opposite of Dale Lennon, his predecessor. In the end, these players will have to be good enough, and that's what the yardstick will be. But right now, the program really needed the energy, because the program should be more successful than it's been. I don't know that Southern should be an NCAA team every year, but certainly 3 out of 5, if not 4 out of 5, in this facility, that's where Southern's expectations are now, I think. And Hill's energy gives them a chance. I mean, they're thinking they can go to postseason this year, even nobody else does. And that's an energy, and a legitimate energy, that the program needed.
In your mind, what would constitute a good first season?
My goals for the club are not as high as theirs are. And right now, if you told them 5 or 6 wins would be a good season, and indeed would get Hill Coach of the Year votes, they would smack you around. I mean, that's not what they want. And I'm not saying they should be satisfied with that. But with the competition that Southern plays, even though this year is the most manageable schedule any Saluki football coach or program will ever have, if this program can go from 3 wins in the league that it plays in to 5 or 6 wins, I think that's a very good jump because there are very good recruits coming.
You've worked with some memorable and colorful coaches over the years. Carl Mock, Jerry Kill, Bruce Weber are just a few that come to mind. Share with me an entertaining anecdote or two.
Bruce Weber revitalized my career when he was Southern's basketball coach for various reasons. And he could be so blunt but harmless. That I love that. Every post-game show that I did with him, I listened to again because I would never catch everything. And I'll never forget one time in St. Louis, they'd suffered a bad loss to St. Louis U. I forget exactly what year. I think it was 02, may have been 03, one of the two postseasons. And it was a December loss, and we said on the radio, you know, do you feel this hurts your at-large chances? And before I get the question out of my mouth, we aren't going postseason. It's over. And they ended up getting an at-large bid. I love the shoot from the hip, responsible shoot from the hip. Because you can shoot from the hip and be irresponsible and end up being a joke. But I love that. Kill and I are very close. He meant a lot to me in 04 when I got sick. That's when we became especially close, at least in my opinion. He respected the job I tried to do and how I tried to do it, which is different than most coaches would prefer. I admire tremendously what he achieved here. There are a lot of stories. I would think that the Western Illinois win here, which seemed to catapult his program, even though they only won 4 games that year, is a game I'll never forget. Itchy Jones means a lot. Itchy Jones tolerated Mike Reese when he was 20 years old, and believe me, that's not a what I was then is not what I am now, and I was a different person then. I was the 20-year-old cocky kid asking questions that peed everybody off, And I certainly learned from it. Unfortunately, guys like Jones, Ray Dempsey, who coached the national championship season, Paul Lambert, who was the basketball coach when I was a student, who has since passed, fortunately, they tolerated me. And fortunately, they taught me. And I learned a lot, and I needed to learn a lot because I was a punk.
Was there a coach, and maybe you just touched on it, that made you a better broadcaster?
Not one solely. I can't. That's not fair. Nor is it right. I mean, look. Sometimes things are unfair, but it wouldn't be right. Ray Dempsey taught me how to ask a question to get an answer because I used to say, "Well, why didn't you punt?" Sometimes he would go for it and he should have punted, and vice versa. Or at least at 20 and 21, I thought he should. He says, "You know what? Have you ever noticed that you don't get?" And in his way, you don't get like good answers from me, which is the way he, a very intimidating man, Dempsey, even when trying not to be. He said, "You ever notice that you don't get like good answers from me on that?" And I said, "Yeah, I thought about that." He said, "If you would just change the question and say, what were you thinking when you decided to go for it, or whatever the case may be, you'd get a totally different answer." So he taught me that. Lambert yelled at me several times. And I needed to be yelled at. Not that the topic was wrong, but my approach was wrong. Jones taught me a ton about how to treat people. This job, my job, and Saluki Athletics were the pits when Rich Herron took over the Spotlight program. He kept it Division I, and so all of us associated with that have to be indebted to him. Southern would be Division II, in my opinion, if Herron's program didn't succeed. Southern had to take another step to be a legitimate Division I, and Bruce Weber did that, and so that's why I say that. We don't have football if Jerry Kill doesn't succeed, We don't have that because McAndrew Stadium wouldn't have lasted. And so if his program didn't start winning, Southern wouldn't have football right now. So those are the coaches, Kelly, that stand out to me in terms of Dan Callahan. The late Dan Callahan taught me to return phone calls. I wasn't always very good at that, and he was very good about how you treat people.
Mike Trude, one of your former broadcast partners, was sharing with me a trip to Northern Iowa when you nearly missed the game because he mistakenly told the pilot to fly to Cedar Rapids instead of Cedar Falls. Have you ever run into any close encounters or other dire game situations?
The basketball game at Puerto Rico, Rick Shipley was doing the games with me at the time, and we went to the wrong arena. And it was the first time I'd ever been to Puerto Rico, and he had been there when he played, and he knew when we pulled up that we were at the wrong American university. And this is before GPS, and we had no clue. We had a rental car, and that's all we had, and a map that we weren't looking at. And so I thought that would be the first time I would miss a game, but thank God Shipley knew where the place was, and somehow we found it, and we missed the pregame show, but we're walking in, and carrying our equipment, we're walking along the baseline right by Heron, who's watching his team warm up. I said, "Coach, nice to see you. Good to see you, big guy." And we just kept walking right by. And naturally, he had a field day with that. Later, we can't find the building. And that would be pretty embarrassing. I'd forgotten about the airplane. I thought we were going to crash flying to Missouri State one time. It seems like every time we fly to Springfield, Missouri, it's tornado season. And I remember flying and just getting the plane literally turned over. I love to fly, and the smaller the plane, the better. But even that one rattled me, and the people that went with us didn't want to come back. I remember Southern used to travel on DC-3s back in the day, and there was a hole. I was sitting with Fred Huff, who was the sports information director at the time, and I'm sitting by the window, and there's a hole in the plane, and we're in the air, and I said, where is this cold air coming from? And I said, Fred, look at that. And we looked down, we see the hole, and he muttered some words that we shouldn't repeat, and the next thing I know, we get word up to the pilot, and he's bringing duct tape back to us to cover it up.
You have the distinction of being one of a handful of broadcasters that calls football, basketball, and baseball. Do you have a favorite? And why?
The sport that I'm best at, I think, is basketball. The sport I like being around the most is baseball. And I don't know why. That was the case in 1977. It's the case here in 2016. Players have changed and a lot of those things. But it still feels like, whether I'm 21, as I was at the start, or 60 now that I am, I feel most comfortable around baseball players. That was the only sport I tried to play, and obviously I wasn't any good at it, but I seem to relate to it the most, and I like doing those games. So I guess that's my personal favorite. But look, you have to like what you do best, and basketball is always going to pay the bills for me as well as for Southern Illinois University. So I enjoy all of them, obviously. I don't want anyone to misread and look for something that isn't there. But, you know, being asked to pick one, I would say baseball is the most fun for me to be around in total. And basketball provides the most professional highlights and thrills.
What's the best Saluki moment or game you've been involved in?
I would pick per sport. Kelly, and then in the end, pick the 2002 Sweet 16, because it was the first Sweet 16 that I did, and because of basketball's importance, Southern being an upstart, that was really fun. I'll never forget driving back from Chicago after they reached the Sweet 16 and beat Georgia, and sports talk radio in Chicago has a ton of people calling in to talk about Southern. And that was exciting to be part of. And 57 was full of Saluki fans, and I loved that. And that was the greatest moment for me in total because of It made it a national thing at the time. The 1983 National Championship was special. I really liked those players. That was not a national spectacle at the time. The NCAA basketball tournament was. The College World Series is bigger now than it was then. I'm not sure the baseball is better now than it was then. But that it wasn't on the same level as the again as the NCAA tournament. But the 77 College World Series is my favorite baseball moment. 83 National Championship, a close second in football. Close second, 2007 football was special. That was a very good team, quarterbacked by Nick Hill. And there was such a buzz about Saluki football. I really loved that.
If you had the chance to call any sporting event and choose any broadcast partner with you in the booth, what would it be and who would it be?
Believe it or not, I would like to do the Cleveland Indians a full season. Now, upon further review, I might pick the World Series. I might pick the Final Four. You know, if I could do Southern in a Final Four, which was awfully close in 2007, closer than a lot of missed layup against Kansas from playing in the Final Eight. You know, upon further review, that certainly would be better for my career, I think. But if I could do baseball, the Cleveland Indians, with who? I would be intimidated if Jack Buck was in the other chair. And so I wouldn't be worth a damn in the other chair. But I think I would have to pick him. Tom Hamilton of the Cleveland Indians is very good. Marty Brenneman of the Cincinnati Reds, I love his baseball. Those would be contenders. John Miller, who was with ESPN, now does the Giants. To travel a whole year with him, because that would be it. In the end, you know, these games and these memories, those are great. But now, you think more about the people.
Now that you've been on Facebook and Twitter for a couple of years, what does Mike Reese think of social media?
I like it more than I thought. I was embarrassed into joining it. A person that I worked with at River Radio, Shauna Matthews, embarrassed me one night at Tres Hombres. And she basically just totally called me out that I wasn't on Facebook. And it was like in 2014 or something like that. And so I said, what the hell? And I got into it, and it's intoxicating. One of the things that's what I find it. And really all I do is put the stuff out there that I do, interviews and things like that. But look, you know, that's a part of radio now. When a game's played, what's the first question everybody asks? Well, can I watch it? Well, what does that do for the radio people? We have to find a way to compete, and we can. And that's one of the things that I realize about social media can help us.
You've developed a number of young broadcasters here at Southern. Tell me about some of your proteges and the success that they're having now.
You know, when I first started, we had a sports department at River Radio, and so we had people, but what was then CIL is now River Radio, and we had a full-timer and we had part-timers. And so there are some 75 people that have worked with us over the years who are in broadcasting in some way, either over the air, management, sales, whatever. Mike Kelly, who does the University of Missouri, has for a long time, is an SIU alum. Sean Kelly, who does the New Orleans NBA games, is part of the Saints preseason telecasts, is an SIU alum. Corey Curtis, who's the sports director at in a station in Nashville in television, is from Southern Illinois University. And at the risk of, you know, of leaving people out, there are a lot of people like that. Todd Manley is a VP at WGN Radio. He worked with us. Chuck Lofton in Indianapolis, a weather person, weathercaster in Indy. Bruce Kopp was a person that worked in news when we worked. He's an anchor in Indy. And so Southern has a very good heritage, and fortunately we have a part in that, and from the sports side of things. And so, you know, that's been really cool too. That's been an important part. That's probably in the end. A lot of people feel like that's where we've made our biggest mark, or I've made my biggest mark, is with people who are advancing. I'm proud of the younger people and what they're doing. Bryce Williams, for example, is an up-and-comer in that business as well as the development business, and that's a lot where the business is going right now. And so he's poised to do good things.
You're in the Saluki Hall of Fame. Whenever you call your last game, what do you think will ultimately be your legacy here at Southern?
It's going to be about how I called the game. I mean, there'll be some people that I'm sure will talk about me as a person. I hope in the end, what people say, when I listened to the game, I could follow what was going on. I knew that he wanted Southern to win, but I felt like he was telling a fair story. When Southern sucked, he said it. When Southern was good, he said it, but he didn't belabor either. I've strayed from that on occasion in embarrassing fashion on both sides. But for the most part, I know that's my motto. In the end, we're an audio scoreboard. So what's the score? What time's left in the game? And the people are listening are Southern's fans. So does this guy want my team to win? And is he telling me the truth? And by the truth, I mean, when I listen to them play and then I go see them play, I see the same thing. I don't want to listen and hear that my club is Duke and then I go see them play and they look like the worst team in the country. So that's not right on my part either. My background is as a reporter, so that's how it started. It's part of the reason why I'm very lucky to have the job that I have now, because that's not the resume of people with my job now, and I totally get that. But in the end, if people will say he's fair, when he interviewed people, he asked the right questions, but he asked them in a fair and professional manner to get an answer, and he wanted my team to win, I would be happy with that.
Mike, thank you for being the inaugural guest, and have a good call this weekend.
Thank you. I'm happy to be inaugural, and I hope there are many more.
Tune in next week for another episode of Valley Football's First and Goal with Kelly Burke, the official podcast of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, only on the lineupmedia.fm network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.